The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is sponsored by Shopify, the platform I personally use to host my own store. Why did I move to them from Magento, who I had been on for years? Well, Shopify has an enormous ecosystem of developers and apps. Their template framework and API are really well architected, and they're a hosted service, so I can focus on growing my business versus spending hours worrying about server issues. And best of all, they make me more money. Our business experienced an enormous 41% conversion increase after we migrated. Check them out at shopify.com. Hey guys, quick note before the show starts. If you've been listening the last couple of weeks, you know that October 7th through the 9th in Nashville is our annual E-Commerce Fuel live event for private forum members, now open to non-forum members who have a store that does at least 100K in sales or work for one, or that are industry professionals. And if you're interested in joining us, we'd love to have you. You can learn more, see video from last year, and sign up if there's tickets left at ecommercefuel.com/live. All right, let's get on with the show. Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping six and seven figure store owners build amazing companies, outgun the competition, and make more money. I'm your host and fellow e-commerce entrepreneur, Andrew Udarian. Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Today, I'm going to talk about something a little bit more abstract. How do you make gut-level decisions? You know, a lot of times you've got a lot of data, a decision's fairly straightforward, you know the outcomes, or at least you know what's at stake. Sometimes, or even maybe more often than not, they're not as cut and clear, and you've got a lot of intangibles to work from. How do you make those? How do you grapple with those? Is there any kind of framework or rules you can keep in mind when you've got those? And joining me to talk about the issue, the man behind DrewSnocki.com and the newly launched podcast over at Ecom Dojo. That's with one M, ecomdojo.com.
Yes.
Drew Snocki. Drew, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
We
also got Ecom with two M's.
Oh, you did?
Based on your feedback, yeah. So it's going to redirect.
You can
type in two M's if you want.
Either or. Yeah, yep. I was trying to find it when you told me. It took me like 5 minutes. So it's probably a good call. we were talking before we came on the podcast here how we can talk about gut level decisions from a business standpoint, but might be more fun to do this from a relationship standpoint. As you were saying, that's where you have most of your experience
Literally half. The stuff I talked about before I got married was deciding, you know, whether you should keep dating somebody. So, and like how to decide that. So that was the big gut level decision.
It is. We were joking about doing the love line call for an episode and having people call in with their personal issues, very tangentially related to e-commerce and how much fun. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll have to do an episode like that.
I think with this podcast, we got to just go with our gut, like wherever it takes us.
Just start making.
I'm just going to answer without thinking.
It's on the docket. We're going to have to do it.
Closing my notes now.
All right. Well, let's get into it for real. How to make gut level decisions better than hopefully you have in the past. So, Drew, I think both you and I will agree. Making data-driven decisions, if you can, is always, of course, preferred. But unfortunately, it's not always possible. You know, sometimes you've got subjective decisions. Often you've got subjective decisions you've got to make in business. Who do you hire? You know, where to invest your money when you don't have clear ROI data? You know, it's one thing to say, oh, hey, we've got a very profitable AdWords campaign. Let's dump more money in there. That's an easy one. It's much harder when you don't have a track record for, you know, a given advertising platform or multiple ones you're considering. Where do you put money in there? What business lines to pursue in your existing business or new ones? So a lot of these, what do you think? Like what percentage of decisions do you think are gut level versus having some pretty clear data?
I would say it's something like 99% are gut level decisions. If it's just like life decisions day to day, so much goes on autopilot. You're deciding, you know, what to eat for breakfast every morning without data. Just, I think, and the same thing happens at work because the gut level decisions for the most part, I think, are your interpersonal relationship decisions too. And so those are just constant.
Yeah, at least almost all of them are. And I feel like there's a good number of business ones too that are just kind of, our gut level, you've got to make, you know, maybe you lean in one way or another, but ultimately there's no clear outcome and you just got to pick one and go with it, which is tough. So So a couple, some thoughts on how to maybe make these decisions with a little bit, hopefully a little bit better clarity, but don't trust us. These are all gut level answers. So I'm not sure how much credence you should really be putting into these. But the first one is never talk yourself into people. So it's really interesting to get your take on this. But for me, I put a ton of weight onto first impressions. For me, those are really important. And, you know, little things for me in interactions with people aren't little, like they're big things. I feel like you can really extrapolate a lot out of somebody, you know, even just based on a 5-minute conversation, sometimes even based on a 90-second interaction. And not always, there's definitely been times I've been wrong about people, but more often than not, I feel like I've been right. And there's been times in my business career and personally even, where I've turned down fairly lucrative opportunities just based on like a bad gut feeling about somebody that I didn't want to be in bed with them in terms of business. So I don't know. You feel the same way?
Yeah. Yeah. We've had that a lot at my business where, you know, somebody looks good on paper and they may be a great fit for the position. They can do it one-handed and you hire that person. But, you know, at the very onset, you had a bad gut level decision, you know, a bad sort of intuition about that person that something about them rubbed you the wrong way. And, you know, lo and behold, you're right. After months of working with that person, you realize it's just not going to work for one reason or the next. So I've gotten better about trusting my gut there because in the past, I think I would have just gone with the weight of the evidence.
Yeah, and it's so easy sometimes to, I think it's our nature maybe to try to explain things for people. So maybe somebody isn't quite as detail oriented as they should be. And you say, oh, they were busy this time or this happened. Or yep. I think it's easy to do that, to try to explain things away. But I think more often than not, the way people handle little things is how they're going to handle larger, bigger, more complex, more important things. So
definitely.
Yeah, trust your gut on people. I think it's an important one. Number two, gauge your excitement factor. I think there's definitely a time and place for doing things that you're not excited about doing. Like for me, for example, getting started with Right Channel Radios right out of the gates, I wasn't super stoked about CB Radios. My primary goal was to build a profitable business. And I'm very glad that even though that wasn't something I was passionate about, I still plugged ahead and made it happen. You know, so there's a time and place for that. But I think all things equal, if you're looking especially at multiple options, if you're not excited about something, I think you need to think really long and hard about doing it because it's more often than not going to be what gets you through a lot of the hard parts, the trying parts. And so two opportunities equal to one you're a little more excited about is probably going to, and maybe that's common sense, but even I would rather take an opportunity that I was really excited about that might be a little less lucrative as opposed to one that maybe had a little more financial upside, but I just dreaded doing the work.
Yeah, I agree. I think you've got to look a little bit long term and realize that if it's something that's going to repeat itself, like if there's just this project that you can't get excited about and yet it's crucial to your business, are you realistically going to get up every morning, you know, maybe next week in a month or two or 3 months, especially if it's a long duration project, you know, what's going to keep you working on that? And maybe in that case, you avoid it, you know, you avoid that project, or even better, maybe you could find somebody else to take on that project who's a little more excited about it if it's still sort of critical for the business.
Yeah. And even apart from an excitement factor, let's say you're looking at maybe you're looking at picking a new advertising channel for your business and you've got 3 or 4 options and you look at the data, you look at case studies, you've done as much research as you can from that standpoint. But for whatever reason, one of those, you just feel it's a better fit. You feel it's maybe not as large, but it's just a better fit for your audience or whatever it is. There's an intangible there that's making you lean there. I think listening to that voice, even if you can't put an exact finger on it, often is the best way to go.
Yep.
Number three, get outside perspectives from people. So enormously helpful as business owners, as entrepreneurs, we're so close to our businesses. It's really difficult sometimes to see the forest for the trees. And I think having a confidant, whether it's a spouse, you know, for me, it's Annie, a family member, a business partner, someone that you can speak 100% candidly about on any issue, you know, the things that you'd never say to other people because you sound terrible or judgmental or whatever it is, you can be completely transparent with them. Having someone like that not only you can be open with, but that you can bounce these ideas and these decisions off is so enormously helpful. There's been so many times I've gone to Annie with things where she's really helped me think through things in ways that I wouldn't have if it was just me sitting in a room looking at a wall.
I think it's also important when you have that confidant to listen to how you're describing an opportunity to them, because I found with my wife, if I am just really not that excited about doing something. And my intuition might tell me it's a bad idea. But again, on paper, it might be a big opportunity and I'm describing it to my wife and I'm almost giving excuses as to why I should do this or why mm-hmm. we should do it. She will see right through that and say, you know what? You sound like you're trying to convince me. And she's like, I get it, but you know, are you really on board with that? And if you listen to yourself and you listen to the language you use and sort of how you feel, you're like, you know, you're right. I'm trying to convince you. And if it were really an idea I was excited about, I wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't need to convince you of this. So I think listening to how you talk to your confidant is also sort of very insightful.
Yeah, great point. And on the flip side as well, if you're really, really excited about something and just bubbling over with enthusiasm, and whoever that is, your spouse maybe comes to you and she's like, you know, or he, you know, says, you know, I see what you're saying. I can see why you're so excited, but have you thought about A, B, and C? Like, I feel like these might be potential problems. My gut reaction is to try to explain them away and be like, well, you don't understand. You get a little bit defensive. And I think anytime you get defensive, that's a huge red flag. You need to think through, why am I getting defensive? Like, usually it's because valid points are being raised and you are bummed out because it's getting in the way of what you see as this perfect opportunity.
Right.
Yeah. Number four, give it time. I found the bigger the decision, the more time I try to allocate to it. So, and a lot of times, sometimes you just need that time to kind of let it sit and digest and really think through all the implications of something. So don't decide to uproot your family, you know, overnight and send them across the country. You know, always, always, even if it's a job opportunity or something, always ask for at least, you know, 48 hours. For bigger things, if you're thinking about buying a company, selling a company, hiring someone, give it time. That time really can help you think through things that otherwise you wouldn't in a shorter period.
Yeah, that sleep test, you know, that I'll think about it tomorrow morning is really, really helpful. I find if you look at my GoDaddy account, I've got like, it's like the boulevard of broken dreams for business ideas, you know, and it's like, you know what, some of those are so dumb. I was just into them at the time. So, you know, thinking about it for a couple days before you make a decision definitely helps temper that enthusiasm.
Oh, I love that. I've got so many of those. I just went through my domain registrar like last month and clicked the do not renew on about a dozen domains.
Yeah.
It's so funny because you just have these and you're thinking in the moment, you're like, oh, I've got to get this domain. It could be gone tomorrow. And then the whole, I think a lot of entrepreneurs will relate to that. Number five, look at your long-term goals. And this may sound obvious, but is what you're thinking to do going to make those goals easier or harder to achieve? You know, sometimes something in the short run looks really attractive, but it's taken us down a different path. But looking through those filter of that filter of your long-term goals and where you're headed can bring a lot of clarity to some of these tougher decisions that you know, really aren't cut and dry. And if you don't know what your long-term goals are, write those down. It's so helpful, I think, to have those on paper, to look at those on a weekly basis. It can give so much, it can really help you make these decisions, not only in guiding you day to day, but with these bigger ones, it's tremendously helpful.
Yeah, that gets to focus too, right? Like you only have time to do a certain number of things. And if you go with your gut too much and take on too many, you know, bright, shiny objects or bright, shiny opportunities, you don't focus on accomplishing bigger goals.
Yeah. A couple of books I'm reading right now. One of the books is called The One Thing and the other one's called Essentialism. And they both slightly different spins on the same concept of, have you heard of these books, Drew?
Yeah. I read the One Thing.
Okay, great. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, exactly. So both of them focus on just cutting, really understanding where your leverage points are, but more than anything, focusing on one thing, because that's where you can make the biggest difference and where you can actually get stuff done. So they've challenged me a lot these last couple of weeks to really think through, like, what is it you want to be? What's the one thing you really want to be good at, and focusing your time and energies there? And that's a hard question to answer. So, but yeah, if you're struggling with focus, like I think most entrepreneurs do, they're both exceptional. We'll link up to both of those in the show notes. And then finally, you know, number six here is just And again, this kind of goes in line with the topic of the episode here, but trust your gut. You know, we're talking about making these gut level decisions. And I think, again, don't want to do it for everything, but if you've got an inclination on something, don't talk yourself out of it. On my kind of personal mission statement, the ways I try to work, one of the things that's on there is trust your gut. Don't go against that. Another thing you can do too is, if you're not sure what your gut's telling you, is do the flip a coin test. I don't know if you've heard of this, Drew, but say, hey, heads I'll do A and tails I'll do B. You flip the coin, you see what comes up, and you figure out if you feel disappointed based on one of the other outcomes. And if you can do that, a lot of times you can maybe figure out what you're subconsciously thinking when you're really having a hard time trying to come up with an answer. So
yeah, that one works really well. Use that one myself.
Yeah. Is that how you decided to start Design Public, the coin flip test?
No. It's how I decided to get married.
Nice. Okay, even better. Sarah, congratulations. I'm so glad it was heads. Awesome. Drew, any parting thoughts on this? This is kind of a shorty and a quickie, but it's one that we're dealing with on a daily basis.
No parting thoughts. Just, you know, I don't know what the lesson is. Is it trust your gut or build up enough framework around your decision making to resist trusting your gut? I don't know what the big takeaway is.
Yeah, I think some of the takeaways are, you know, don't, if you're trying to talk yourself into things or into people, don't do that. If you don't have a confidant, takeaways for those action items, if you don't have someone you can really be truly honest and transparent with, get somebody that can help you out with that. Find that sounding board, that confidant. And, you know, if you don't have long-term goals, I think as well, to be able to measure some of these decisions against, that's another priority item to sit down with today and write those out. It's amazing. It's amazing how a lot of times when you ask people, where do you want to be in 5 years with your business and professionally, a lot of people don't know. And if you don't know where you're going, how do you evaluate decisions based on where you want to get to, right? So I think those are going to be the big takeaways from this episode.
So, and then trusting your gut can be really valuable, but you know, put some of these other systems and processes in place, and so that, you know, you give it context and can make it even better.
Yeah. Drew, why? It's been a lot of fun. Thanks as always. Again, if you're not familiar with Drew's work, drewsnocki.com, fantastic long form stuff, and also ecomdojo.com with an M or two M's, your choice. And that's a podcast Drew just started with his brother about really, really for makers, people who are making their own products for the e-commerce space. So check them out over there. Drew, it's been fun as always, man.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
That's going to do it for this week. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure to check out the E-Commerce Fuel Private Forum, a vetted community exclusively for 6- and 7-figure store owners. With over 600 experienced members and thousands of monthly comments, it's the best place online to connect with and learn from other successful store owners to help you grow your business. To learn more and apply, visit ecommercefuel.com/forum. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.